This is the Deliberate Talks weekly podcast, powered by the Pixelated Egg Digital Ventures. Tune in every week to learn something new about digital marketing and entrepreneurship. And now, over to the voice of your host, Dukshin Adyantaya. Enjoy the show.
This is the Deliberate Talks podcast season 3, and welcome to a brand new episode with me, Dukshin Adyantaya, who today is going to feed your mind with entrepreneurial ideas so delicious that you will keep just asking for more. And all this thanks to our guest today, Gurmeet Kochar. Hello, Gurmeet. How are you doing, buddy?
Hey, Dukshin. Great to be connected with you.
Great. Gurmeet is the founder of Spicebox, Mumbai's first food commerce tiffin service that allows you to order delicious homemade style food. He's also the founder of Oikita. And with so much on his plate, Gurmeet, tell us first, what was your life before Spicebox and what led you to convert your kitchen into your workplace?
So, Dukshin, I think you know this very well. I used to be an investment banker before I got into the food tech space. And I became an investment banker at the age of 20. Uh-huh. So, fortunately, I got a lot of exposure, different kind of fields and different industry age, which gave me exposure to what are the kind of things that I would like to pursue as a career moving forward. Uh-huh. Right from college, I was very clear that I wanted to get into entrepreneurship. I want to build my own company. That part clear. Fortunately, becoming an investment banker at 20 gave me that opportunity to explore more horizons at a very fast pace.
Right.
So at 20, I started, I was enjoying investment banking thoroughly. So it gave me a lot of room to understand different industries at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were so many industries that I was getting exposed to on a daily basis. It was a little overwhelming at first, but then just by a sheer elimination of things that I don't want to do, I zeroed down on quite a few things that I wanted to get into. So one thing that I really, really wanted to get into was tech. Okay, because my mother has a very strong food background, I realized that there is something that I can actually, you know, clubbing the two, I can get into something very interesting. And it happened in a very, very organic, casual manner where once my boss at Standard Chartered, I used to be a part of Edelweiss Capital and I moved to Standard Chartered. And at Standard Chartered, my boss highlighted this to me that, hey, you know, what do you have in your lunchbox today? Must be something exciting. Your mother doesn't repeat anything throughout the month. I said, sorry, my mom doesn't repeat any dish throughout the month. So he had realized this, that every single day, the meal that I get is completely different from the day before. Uh-huh. So I came home and I said, Ma, you know, my boss just made a realization that probably you don't repeat any dish throughout the month. Is that true? She's like, oh, nut, have you not seen the menu on the fridge? I said, you have a menu on the fridge? And it was a very shocking realization for me, because sometimes you take things so granted, right?
Uh-huh.
So granted that, hey, you know, this is how probably everyone's lunchbox at home would be. But I thought that this is something that if I can get into, it is a low hanging fruit for me. So I clubbed that with technology. That's how Spicebox came into being.
Right. Very interesting. And have you ever tried to ask her why a different menu every day? What is her thought behind it?
So it's very simple, Dukshin. The more you keep things exciting, the better, you know, the end receiver who opens his tiffin feels at the end of the day.
Right.
It is something generally when you think about lunch boxes or tiffins, the first thing that comes to your mind is monotony.
Uh-huh.
So if you try to break that mold of monotony by putting something exciting into it, it breaks that barrier of not open daily. You're looking forward to opening your tiffin. That's what used to happen with me.
Right.
That's what I realized, that, you know, probably more than me, my team realized that before me, because for me, it was something I was used to since childhood. So I didn't realize that how much effort is going behind creating that menu for the whole month. Imagine, who takes the effort to create a menu for your kids for the whole month? So that is something that, you know, got me thinking that, hey, we have a business in place where this, whatever we are doing, whatever she is doing at a small scale, if this can be provided at a large scale, this is already a business opportunity on hand.
Right.
And in terms of, I read a lot, and I used to subscribe to Harvard Business Review. In 2010, I read a review on the global restaurant space. Now, by the way, Spicebox is in India's pioneered dark kitchen space, or dill kitchen space, if you want to call it. Because before us, there were hardly any, or maybe there were none. So we started as a delivery-only kitchen, which was way ahead of its time back in 2011, 2012.
Right.
Completely tech-enabled and completely delicious. So the reason why, whenever everyone's asked me, wouldn't want to get into the restaurant side of the business, is because that Harvard Business Review that I read in 2010 gave me a very clear understanding about the whole global restaurant industry space. It said that out of 100 restaurants that open, 90% close down in year one.
Right.
And what not many people know, out of the 10 remaining, 90% close down in year two. So technically, net-net, your success rate out of 100 restaurants that open after 2 years is just one. So, and this is a global case study.
Mm-hmm.
So even when you go, you must have seen places which you frequently visited, etc.
Right.
The kind of churn for the restaurants is very, very high.
Right.
So it is important to focus on what your core strength is. Hence, I was very glad, you know, because the odds are so against you in a restaurant industry.
Mm-hmm.
The success rate is just 1 on 100. That means it is not just the ambience. It is not just your relationship who might vacate you after 2-3 years on his whims and fancies.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, and something like government policies changing overnight, etc. There are so many parameters that can hurt you in a restaurant space that I realize that the odds are against you.
Right.
So that's why I refrained from being in the restaurant space, and then realized that playing your strength is the best way to build a business, was what my philosophy was. And that's what I've been following for the last 10 years.
Right. Interesting point there, Gurmeet, because one, you mentioned that you have been in the space since 2011. And second thing is you have seen similar businesses open and shut overnight, as what you mentioned.
Yeah.
What are the challenges you think, you know, a business like this faces, and why is it a bigger challenge to actually sustain a business like this? That's first part. And the second part is, because you're there since 2011 and we are in 2022 now, that's almost 11 years. How have you been sustaining this business and, you know, adjusting and adapting to make it better since the last 11 years?
As the cliche goes that change is the only thing, and the only species that survive are the ones most adapted to change.
Right.
If I may say, in the last have been a beautiful journey in the food tech space, where literally I've seen tech leaps and bounds every 2 years. So if you ask me how tech has gone 2011 to 2021, I would say there have been at least 5 additional leaps that I've seen. Okay, but right from creating, from the first online ordering website that we created for Spicebox, which was a very simple website with a very simple backend, to what we have today, a complete end-to-end tech-enabled software, which every 5 single parameters of the business, which I'll be speaking about later on, are completely tech-enabled. I really, really feel proud that the way the industry, the way India is at the forefront of all IT-enabled progresses or leaps that you see across. If you see the way India is right now in terms of UPI payments and everything, even people from the United States or Europe, they're not as flexible with UPI or modes of payments like the way Indians are. So if you see the kind of tech that we are developing right now as a country, it's great. So in the last 10 years, the major thing that I have seen is technology is making business and life by every single passing year. So that has been my experience. I used to put much more effort back then in 2011, but now because of tech, everything has become much more comfortable and much more streamlined. So that is my key takeaway from how the business has evolved. And how do we keep ourselves relevant in a time, in a generation where everything is changing constantly every 6 months to a year, is you have to keep evolving. You have to keep changing for the better every 6 months to a year. So we make sure that, you know, constant customer feedback, constant engaging with our clientele is done on a regular basis, weekly, monthly. We are always in touch with our customers. So technically, and then their needs are going from what they were in 2011 to what they are now. So if we don't evolve with those, we'll become obsolete in no time.
Right. Okay, interesting. And you know, just getting back to your entrepreneurial journey where you started back, and you did mention from investment banking, jumping into food and hospitality business. Firstly, did you have entrepreneurial apprehensions hit you at any point of time when you were working, saying, you know, you're in a successful job, a good earning job, and then you suddenly feel that there is an opportunity. Do I try it now? But what if it doesn't work out? And all those apprehensions that an entrepreneur goes through, you know, before starting his or her business. Did you ever face that? And if you did, what are some of the tips to overcome those apprehensions according to you?
So, Dakshin, imagine there weren't just a few hurdles that I had to face. The biggest hurdle was to explain it to everyone in the family and friends that, because in 2011, being an entrepreneur was not as cool as it is today. Okay. And there weren't companies which were getting funded left, right. And people didn't just, startups were cool in 2011, right? And plus, when at the age of 20, your son becomes an investment banker, it's a bragging point for you in parties. So it was a bragging point. And suddenly, you, right from wearing a three-piece suit and going to office in a black sedan, you suddenly tell your parents that you want to become a dabbawala. It comes as a shock to them. Like, sorry. You know, the one of the most difficult things for an entrepreneur always is to express to somebody who cannot visualize what their vision. So I think that is one of the biggest challenges. So you have to keep your communication so clean, clear that everyone can actually visualize what you're visualizing so that they become a part of your plan or they support your vision, which is a make or break for any business. It might be to your parents, it might be to partners, it might be to your investors. If they don't buy into that vision, there will be no support for you, right? So technically, that is an aspect that you have to be very clear about. Make the other person visualize it in the exact same manner that you are visualizing is something that is the entrepreneur's job.
Right.
So I did, in my investment banking days, I was exposed to a lot of case studies where I had to actually put forward the investments that we are making and that the investors also visualize what we are doing. That gave me an experience to get right people on board, explain my vision in a proper way. And they understood that there's something big in this business process. It's not just a simple different service that's being sold. So that's how I got my family, my friends, people who've been working with me for the last 10, 11 years, everyone on board. So that was an important aspect. And I think one very big hurdle about any entrepreneurship is everyone has an apprehension of failing. So the biggest thing that the person faces, and I'm sure you can relate to it because you are an entrepreneur and you've realized that starting something of your own comes with its own challenges. And the biggest challenge is the aspect of you failing.
Right.
So if you can embrace that, I want to give this new venture a try. Okay. It might take a few attempts before it becomes successful, but I'm ready to put in those attempts. I'm ready to try it. I don't know if the first time itself, I'll get it right, but I'm ready to put in second attempt, the third attempt, the fourth attempt, or the 10th attempt, because I know this field will work.
Right.
So you have to be ready to fail. That is one key takeaway for any entrepreneur, that you are not going to find success at the very first attempt. So it's not that Spicebox and Oikidam became huge hits in the very like I used to deliver tiffins as a delivery boy on my own in 2011, 2012. Bombay gets flooded and it got flooded and I was carrying some meals in my hand and I literally broke down in the middle of the road. Tears rolled down my eyes thinking that what exactly have I done? I've quit investment banking to do this. And it makes you question. And then anything that the human tendency is to question your own self constantly.
Right.
If you're not doing that, probably you are a good AI and you don't realize it. So the human element is emotion, right? So technically, everyone faced that. And I question myself whether, hey, is this the right thing that I've done? And that is the time when you have to explain your own vision to your own self and say that, hey, there will be these hurdles. There will be these times which will be difficult. Let's overcome them. And that's the only difference between an entrepreneur and a non-entrepreneur.
And now I'm going to get more into the food aspect of Spicebox. You know, food and criticism are always an interesting conversation.
Absolutely. I can imagine the huge smile on your face already. Yeah.
Tell me the best criticism you have received and how did you deal in such a situation?
So one of the best criticisms is like, hey, think about your own self and about the business. Don't always just think about serving something which is completely, non-viable. So because sometimes our costing was so off that we just to deliver the best product did not focus too much on pricing.
Right.
So I think that is a criticism that we got, that we always put customer first. So it's actually a compliment which we receive, and which is what I've always treated as the best criticism that we've got, that we really, really don't care about our own balance sheet sometimes, where we want to give the best experience to the customer. And that's why I think we bootstrapped to the scale that we have today.
Right. And any customer feedback that you have got with respect to food, is there anything that, interestingly, that you heard from a customer as a feedback?
So, the kind of, if you look at Bombay is not a city, it's a country, if you think about it, because the kind of population that we have, we're almost 30 million people living here. And the kind of people who migrated to Bombay are from all parts of India. Right. So you don't have just people from North India, South India, people from Gujarat, from East India. It's the best motley crowd that you can imagine.
Right.
So technically, if you look at this, one thing that you have to be very sure about is you please everyone. Because there will be customers whose palate is not used to that kind of taste that you're providing. Right? So a South Indian is not used to a dal makhani being the way. They like their sambar dal. They are used to a certain palate. So technically, you have to understand how to strike the chord in a manner that it is acceptable to all. So you have to keep your communication clear. This is what we are serving. We are predominantly North Indian. Other dilemma always is whether butter chicken should be sweet or butter chicken should be. So those kind of conversations do keep coming up. And we are very clear about it. Like, hey, this is authentic North Indian butter chicken that we make. Experience our chefs have got, whatever research we've done, it's not supposed to be sweet.
Right.
So we tell them that. And we're like, hey, this is what we serve. And at the end of the day, the customer is king. So the customer can decide whether they want to actually go for a particular taste that they like, which is either it can be spicy. It's something that they choose.
Right.
We can't choose on their behalf. Right. So technically, yeah, it is one key takeaway would be pleasing everyone is not something that you can do in the food industry.
Right.
So you do everything to the best of your ability and let the customer choose.
Right. Interesting point. I'm going to touch upon butter chicken because you mentioned that. You know, tell me about that butter chicken which your father was eating the last time I met you.
So the butter chicken at Oikita is overnight.
Uh-huh.
It's roasted overnight. The first people to start butter chicken paratha was Oikita.
Okay.
So the whole idea of making a dish has butter chicken stuffed in it and you give butter chicken as a dip along.
Yeah.
So the whole combination of that is what I think my father was boasting to you about. And that's what Oikita is famous for.
Right. So you know, with experiments like this, you know, what happens in that kitchen, firstly? How do you come up with these new things and who approves it as a final part of the menu?
So, there is a lot of democracy here in the Oikita kitchen where for every single thing that we launch, what we do is a soft launch and we send it to 100 customers and get their feedback on it. Rather than being completely autocratic about this, decided this is a part of our menu, take it or leave it. We don't do things that way because that's how we want to serve the customer at the end of the day. So it is the customer's experience which really, really matters to us. Technically, over the last few years, it's worked beautifully for us to get their feedback on the basis like this. And that's what we stick to. So in terms of experiments, there are experiments daily in the Oikita kitchen, every single day.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Tell me more about Oikita. You know, in midst of a business which is already doing well, like Spicebox, why, where did Oikita come into the picture?
So this was back in 2012, 2013, when I realized that in terms of on-demand ordering was picking up across the European markets, even China, really, really big in terms of ordering. And I realized that that's the same in India very soon. Okay. And that is when, if you remember, for Zomato and Swiggy, there used to be Food Panda, Tiny Owl,
right.
all these players which had come in, and they were offering ridiculous discounts, etc., and everything, because they, at that point, nobody was ready for on-demand ordering. Because if, you know, just to give you, on-demand ordering is basically a terminology which is pre-Swiggy and Zomato, which is the only player, you'll be very shocked when we and give you this information right now, which is a very commonly known thing. In 2013 or 14, if you thought about who are the players you remembered back then, Dakshin, who used to order, who you could order food from?
I think direct restaurants was what most of them used to order from, you know.
Correct. So yeah. Technically, you had a number which you dialed and you could speak to those people. And then, but I'm saying in 2013, you must have, the restaurants also couldn't deliver most of the time because they're like, hey, there are a lot of customers within the restaurant. We can't deliver. Right. Sorry. So 2013 was a very different era. And I think predominantly the only players in the delivery space was Domino's.
Right.
So when you think of 2013, you'll realize that the only ordering you must have done was predominantly for pizzas.
Absolutely.
And it was majorly only Domino's, Pizza Hut. That's it.
Absolutely.
So, because, and as I said, if you think about it, then I realized that this thing is going to pick up where people will be ordering every single thing online and on a tech platform.
Right.
So I realized that the trends were soon, and that's how the idea of starting something on demand came into my mind. And I realized that, as I said, you know, we are constantly thinking about what next. So technically, we decided that we need to get into the food tech space in terms of on-demand ordering.
Right.
So Spicebox was a meal subscription company. So we're like, all right, subscription is what we care of. So people log on to our website and place orders for a week and a month. Now we need to look at the on-demand ordering aspect. So we like to get into on-demand. And then thinking about it, what exactly would be the best? We realized that what is the Indian pizza?
Uh-huh.
And thinking, yeah, while thinking about that, when we were brainstorming, etc., the thought came, which was very clear, that paratha, the Indian pizza, you can eat parathas for, and unlike pizzas, people eat us for breakfast, people eat parathas for lunch. So like, all right, this is a great thing that we can get into. I think the way we can replicate it across the whole country, across different branches, is much easier than anything. So technically, that was the first reason why we thought of parathas. We discussed scalability, we discussed everything. And that's how the idea for Oi Kidna came up.
Right. Great stuff there, Gurmeet. And with that, we come to the end of our first round of questions. Now, I'm going to pace up things. It's time to hit the hot rod and move quickly into the round of rapid fire. And ready for this?
Absolutely.
Okay. You said you choose 100 people for the first initial tasting. How does one get into that list of 100?
You are, Dakshin, now you're number one on that list. Next time, whatever experiments happen, you will be there. 100%.
Okay. Best places you have had a chicken and paratha from when you're not making it at home or at your kitchen?
Just outside Jama Masjid is where I really, really love the butter chicken and parathas in Delhi. And second best in Bombay would be Janta, the bar in Bandra.
Okay. Which is that one dish that you can never go wrong with when it comes to Spicebox menu?
The one dish that I can't go wrong with. So one would be dal khichdi, which you can't ever go wrong with. And the other is Rajma Chawal.
Rajma Chawal and dal khichdi. Okay, noted.
Yeah.
Funniest comment you have received for your food?
Don't you eat parathas? How do you have abs?
Okay. Three reasons why one should order from Spicebox or Oi Kidna.
And predominantly the most important thing, it is made not by hands, it's made straight from the heart, from the whole team. We make sure we work around the clock to deliver the best to every single person we are serving our food to. Second, there are no artificial flavoring, etc., and everything that we add no foreign ingredient to our food. It's whole food. It's clean food.
Uh-huh.
And third, and most importantly, it's the closest thing that you will get to your loved ones cooking for you. Let's say if your grandmother, anybody whose food you really, this will be the closest association to their food that you'll get. It is going to remind you of them.
Okay, fantastic. When someone tells you it's not difficult running a food business, your normally reply would be?
2010 Harvard Business Review, sir. Here's your copy. Go through it.
And what's planned for you this year?
The plan for this year is we used to be pre-pandemic, we 13 cities, 40 branches. But because of the pandemic, we were badly hit by the whole situation, as you know. So currently we are 4 cities and only 20 of our branches are live. So this year we're getting all the other 20 branches live again. And along with that, we also have, as I said, we keep adapting to. So the new thing that we are adding to our menu is Super Bowls. So Super Bowls is basically a very exciting combination of all the gravies and et cetera and everything that we realize that people really, really love. So it's going to be Spice Box, Oikada, and Super Bowls.
Super. Looking forward to that. And finally, before we sum up this conversation, for anyone wanting to start a homemade food delivery business, 5 most important tips to set it up right.
Things to set up the food delivery-based kitchen or anything that you want to get into in the food space is number one. Make sure that food has to be your hygiene. If your food is wrong, technically none of these things will apply, because then if your basic is not in place, then there's no business as such. Right. So don't serve something that you wouldn't eat. Proud of your food and always be very clear about what you want to offer to your customer. Make yourself your customer first. So one that I've always told people to. Number two, always make sure that any business runs on Excel first and then the physical world. So make sure that your numbers are right and keep a monthly pulse, weekly pulse on how the business is faring in terms of the health of the business. So be very clear about how the financial health of the business is. Number three, make sure that you're connected to your customers. Don't take your customers for granted. Speak to your customers, because that is so easy to do. You know, that is free. Consultant. Generally, people pay so much money to consultants to come on board to look. And the general thumb rule of consultants is they'll come and what the time is looking at your own watch, right? So don't pay consultants. Just speak to your customers and see what exactly do they want and plug that gap. It's a very low hanging fruit. Fourth is when you're starting a team, like a business, no business can take off on your own. Like Virat Kohli can't win the whole match on his own. You need a team. So build a good team around it. Choose your team very well. Incentivize. Stick with you for the longest period that they can. Think about them, about their growth. And once you think about their growth, then naturally your business is going to succeed because they're a part of your business. So I always have the bottom-up approach where I make sure that the first thing that I take the team, so all the team members that we speak about from 2011 till now, all with me till date. Wow. And fifth, most importantly, technology. Make sure that every single aspect of the business is tech-driven. The reason why we call ourselves food tech, all the 5 aspects of food tech are the 5 pillars of the food business. One, where your online orders are coming from, etc. So managing your point of sales software, tracking your entire sales. So technically, your sales should be online. That's one. Second, other than that, once you have your sales, your marketing has to be online. That's your second pillar in the food tech space. Third, your procurement. So Oikada has its procurement online. So even if I'm sitting here, I can tell you that the Gachibowli branch in Hyderabad has consumed 3 kgs of cheese yesterday. So technically, you have to have clarity on what exactly your purchases are, your from the business are. So that's the third aspect. That also for Oikada is tech enabled. It is completely digital. Fourth, quality monitoring and training. You know, so as I said, customers are gold. Customers are everything in terms of whatever business you're doing. So you get good Swiggy, Zomato, own platform, etc. You get reviews.
Right.
So make sure that you know what the business is facing at the moment and keep in touch with the customers. So our fourth aspect also is completely tech-driven, where our reviews and quality and training also happens online. All are digitally enabled, tech-driven. And fifth and most important, your accounting and auditing. So technically, after all of this, make a P&L for a weekly basis for what your business is doing, etc. And because if all your are completely tech-driven, this will become a piece of cake. But make sure that you monitor that on a weekly basis.
Right.
So all in all, food tech space, all these five parameters, these five pillars of your business should be completely digital.
Wow, fantastic. Fantastic stuff, Gurmeet. Yeah. With that, we come to the end of this episode. Thank you so much for making time for this conversation. But before we go, where can our listeners follow you or connect with you or your brands?
So they can follow Oikida on Instagram and Spicebox on Instagram too. Oikida is Oikida In on Instagram, and Spicebox is also spicebox.in.
Super. Great. I had a great time hosting you. I hope you enjoyed your time on the show as well.
It's always great fun to connect with you, Dakshin.
Likewise.
Thank you so much, Dakshin.
Thanks, bro. Cheers. And so that brings us to the close of today's conversation. And before we wrap up, here's the most random fact for the day. According to a Dineout stats, highlights that Americans eat 4.2 meals out per week. That makes it 18.2 meals per month at an average cost of $12.75. So that's it for today. This is Dakshin Atyantaya signing off. Don't forget to hit the follow button on your favorite audio platforms or get in touch with me on thedeliberatetalks@gmail.com. Join in next Monday for a new episode. Until then, inspire and be inspired.